Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Also on the front page, Delta variant spreading in county by Frederico Martinez. As the COVID-19 Delta variant continues to spread throughout Ector County, local health officials on Tuesday renewed their pleas for residents to get vaccinated. They also warned that the already deadly Delta variant may mutate into something more dangerous if residents don't resume wearing face coverings, wash hands frequently, and take other precautions like avoiding large community gatherings. It's important because Delta variant cases continue to go up. Medical Center Hospital Dr. Mandeep Othi said during a Tuesday afternoon news conference held at the hospital, "For a while, our COVID-19 cases had gone down. Unfortunately, this was not the end. The Delta variant, which is much more contagious, is among us and can mutate into something much more dangerous." MCH officials reported 23 COVID-19 patients on Tuesday, and Odessa Regional Medical Center reported 6. It's not clear how many of those patients have the Delta variant because all tests for the variant are conducted in Austin, and it takes 2 to 3 weeks for results to be reported back. ORMC Chief Medical Officer Dr. Rohith Saravana said on Tuesday. Saravana did not participate in Tuesday's news conference. "The Delta variant is definitely in our community," Saravana said. "I would say most of those people testing positive for COVID-19 in Ector County currently likely have the Delta variant." Saravana said he is basing that likelihood on national figures by the Center for Disease Control that indicate 83% of those being diagnosed with the Delta variant are people who have not been vaccinated. Symptoms for COVID-19 and the Delta variant are the same, but the Delta is more aggressive and spreads much faster, which makes it potentially more dangerous, Saravana said. "People who have already been vaccinated can still get infected by the Delta variant, but usually experience only minor symptoms," Saravana said. "It's the unvaccinated who need to be concerned," Saravana said. Othi said even though those who have been vaccinated should continue wearing face coverings because they can still carry the Delta variant and pass it along to other people. Saravana and Othi are both optimistic that the current spike in COVID cases won't reach the same proportions as in the latter half of 2020. But they both warn that if the public doesn't resume safety measures, Ector County is headed for another rough future. "It's not a surge yet," Saravana said. "We don't want it to be. We don't want to get to the point again where we have to shut down the economy. But it's possible. The biggest challenge the community faces is convincing people to get vaccinated," Othi and Saravana agree. About 40% of Ector County residents have been vaccinated. "To really be able to say that COVID can no longer survive in our community, we would need to reach an 80% vaccination rate," Saravana said. And Othi said many people continue to refuse getting vaccinated because they are being inundated with misinformation about vaccinations not being safe. there's a lot of misinformation out there on the internet that people are experiencing severe side effects, that it's part of a government effort to track people, or that the vaccines haven't been tested. Othey said, "None of that is true. I just had a patient refuse to be vaccinated because he believed it was a way for the government to plant a chip in him and monitor everything he does." That's what we're dealing with. 534 days. For 534 days, the city has fought a lawsuit brought by the Odessa American to enforce the state law that guarantees the public's right to see basic police records. Through January 6th, the city has spent $112,138.47 of taxpayers' dollars to fight releasing information on crime in Odessa. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County, 17,818 total cases, 379 deaths. Midland County, 19,578 total cases, 274 deaths. Texas, 3,041,410 total cases, 52,827 deaths. U.S. cases, 33,983,867 total confirmed and 606,991 deaths. Find out more at thecovidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. Quick hits. Performance. Stairway to Zeppelin is scheduled to perform at 6 p.m. Thursday at the Ector County Theater, 500 North Texas Avenue. For tickets, visit tinyurl.com/r6tdwjec. Preview Day Fair. Odessa College Academic Partnerships has scheduled a preview day fair from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Thursday at the OC Outdoor Amphitheater behind Salisbury Campus Center. There will be live music, food trucks, and scholarship giveaways. The event is open to the public. Visit tinyurl.com/hr2fvxs. Book Talk. The Ellen Noel Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard, has scheduled Book Talk at 6 p.m. Thursday. The event is free and open to the public. Visit noelartmuseum.com. Grease Sing-Along. Cinema Under the Stars, Grease Sing-Along, has been scheduled at 7:30 p.m. Thursday at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North Farm to Market, 1788, Midland. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. For tickets or more information, visit bit.ly/cinemagrease21wnpac. Concert. The Butterfield Festival Committee and the Monahans Chamber of Commerce have scheduled a concert featuring John Conley on July 30th at the Ward County Event Center, 1525 East Monahans Parkway in Monahans. Doors open at 7 p.m. and the concert starts at 8 p.m. Concessions are available for purchase. Admission is $30. VIP sponsors and tables are available and limited. For reservations or for more information, call 432-943-2187. Butterfield Festival. The 27th Annual Butterfield Festival will take place July 31st at the Ward County Arena, Monahans. Gates open at 6 p.m. Invitational bull rides starts at 7 p.m. For those interested in entering bull rides, call Scotty Cox at 432-202-1119. In addition, a Dance Under the Stars featuring the John Wolfe Band will begin directly after the bull rides. Admission is $20 in advance or $25 at the gate. For tickets or more information, call the Monahan's Chamber office at 432-943-2187. Visit facebook.com/Monahan's Chamber or monahans.org. Local News Roundup. Free Will Seminar Set. In recognition of Make a Will Month in August, the Omicron Epsilon Lambda Chapter of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated will host a free will seminar for the Permian Basin community. This seminar will be held from 10 a.m. to noon, August 7th, at Golf Course Road Church of Christ, located at 3500 West Golf Course Road in Midland. Local probate attorneys will provide information discussing making wills, estate planning, and the probate process. Community members who attend and stay for the entire seminar will receive a free will, completed and executed for them. This is a free seminar and an opportunity to obtain a will for free on behalf of the OEL chapter of APA Incorporated as a part of the chapter's community service. For more information, contact the Giving Norris Law Office at 432-279-0858. Grant Workshop Scheduled. Odessa Arts will host a grant writing workshop for organizations interested in applying for 2022 grants. Cycles on July 27th from 10:30 a.m. to noon at the MG Elegante, 5200 East University Boulevard. To be eligible for a grant, an organization must attend one session. The grant workshop is free, but registration is required. Register online at tinyurl.com/24ry692k. Odessa Arts provides grants for events and programs that promote the arts in Ector County and encourage tourism to the area. Grants will be awarded in September for the calendar year 2021. Organizations can RSVP by calling 432-337-1492 or emailing ramsey@odessaarts.org. Space is limited. For more information on events happening in your city, please view our calendar at odessaarts.org/calendar. Registration takes center stage for ECISD by OA News at oaoa.com. With the start of the 2021-22 school year just over 3 weeks away, Ector County ISD is offering several opportunities for parents who have yet to register their children for school to do so now. Friday will be the third and final registration roadshow stop. The registration roadshow is designed for parents who have limited or no internet access and need assistance with the registration process. The roadshow will be set up at Music City Mall, 4101 East 42nd Street, between the movie theater and at home from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Friday. Then, on Thursday and Friday, July 22nd and 23rd, ECISD will hold face-to-face registration for pre-kindergarten students. These pre-K roundups will be hosted by Carver Early Education Center, 600 College Avenue, and Lamar. Early Education Center, 501 Letty Lee Avenue. These days are for both 3-year-old children and 4-year-old children. For 3-year-olds, representatives from the Odessa Family YMCA will be at each location to talk about its facility and the new Pre-K-3 partnership with ECISD. The hours will be 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. on July 22nd and 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. on July 23rd. ECISD offers online registration for all parents through the patient portal. That portal has been closed for a system update and will reopen on Thursday, July 22nd. Parents can find registration information on the ECISD website and can contact their child's school for information or assistance. Man charged with soliciting 16-year-old girl by OA News at OAOA.com. A 24-year-old man was arrested after he reportedly attempted to solicit sexual conduct with a 16-year-old on the Internet. Eric Clayton Stubing was charged with online solicitation of a minor, a second-degree felony. The reported incident happened at 10:48 p.m. July 16th when a Texas Department of Public Safety special agent was conducting an undercover solicitation sting, the DPS probable cause affidavit detailed. The special agent was posing as a 16-year-old girl who lived in Odessa. Stubing reportedly responded to a social media profile posted on the Internet. Stubing responded to the undercover agent's social media profile on text messages. During the conversation, Stubing stated, "How old are you?" which the undercover agent posing as a 16-year-old girl told Stubing, "Honestly, 16. The affidavit stated. Stubing stated, "Ugh." Later during the text, Stubing reportedly reaffirmed he knew the undercover agent was a child, stating, "LOL, you're 16, you gotta tell me." Stubing then agreed to meet the undercover agent who was posing as a 16-year-old girl to engage in sexual conduct. At 1:11 a.m. July 17, Stubing arrived at a predetermined location in Odessa to meet what he believed was a 16-year-old girl, the affidavit detailed. DPS in the Odessa Police Department placed Stubing under arrest. After Stubing was arrested, a text message was reportedly sent to the cell phone that Stubing had in his possession, and the text message alert was seen on the phone screen. Stubing was transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. He had one bond totaling $25,000 and posted bail on July 17th, jail records show. West Texas Agencies Gain Support by OA News at OAOA.com. Several area agencies will receive emergency funding from the Texas Department of Housing and Community Affairs, which was tasked by Governor Greg Abbott with providing funds that includes the Emergency Rental Assistance Funds provided by the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021. In the Permian Basin, the following have been approved for funding so far. Goodwill in Andrews is $139,000. J. Jesus' house in Odessa is $150,000. Salvation Army in Odessa is $200,000. Salvation Army in Midland is $200,000. A letter on the funding notes. Texas is committed to bringing stability to the large population of those who are experiencing homelessness or at risk of the homelessness. Obituaries. Para Lee Estelle Austin Crump, Odessa. Para Lee Estelle Austin Crump, 86 years old, passed away in her home in Tyler, Texas, and went to be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the morning of July 15, 2021. Mrs. Crump was born May 14, 1935, to Clifton L. Austin and Eva Biddle. On January 15, 1951, Estelle married Arville Ray Crump and had one son, Billy R. Crump. After Billy was involved in a motorcycle accident, Estelle committed her life to care for him. For 50 years, she dedicated herself to Billy and provided meticulous care for her son. Even though Mrs. Crump birthed only one child, she raised many more that still call her Ma. Miss Crump is survived by her nieces, nephews, and many friends and family that loved her dearly and who will miss her very much. Estelle often talked to friends and family who helped and prayed for them over the years, including Pastor Clydell and Frida Chapman. Many friends and family assisted Mrs. Crump on a weekly and even daily basis over the years, and she wished to express her appreciation for their help. Visitation will be held on Thursday, July 22, 2021, from 2 p.m. until 9 p.m. at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Services are set for 10 a.m. Friday morning, July 23, 2021, at Northside Baptist Church of Odessa, with Brother Clyde L. Chapman officiating. Interment will follow at Los Angeles Gardens section of Ector County Cemetery in Odessa, Texas, where she will be laid to rest beside her son, her husband, and her little sister. Dorothy Lewis Harper Davis, Odessa. Dorothy Lewis Harper Davis of Odessa, Texas, passed away on Sunday, July 18, 2021, after a lengthy battle with Alzheimer's disease. She was born on September 3, 1932, to Ernest and Maggie Mae Harper. She is survived by her daughter, Terry Ann Unra, and husband Terry, three grandsons, four great-grandchildren, and two great-granddaughters on the way in the coming months. She was preceded in death by her husband of 54 years, Thomas Aubrey Davis, in 2010. Dorothy graduated from North Texas University and taught school in Odessa for over 30 years. She married Tom on November 22, 1956. Dorothy had an immense love for music and was the choir director at Westminster Presbyterian Church for many years. Dorothy was also one of the founding members of the Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale, playing the cello. She had the opportunity to play with the Moody Blues, Roy Clark, Eddie Arnold, and many others. She continued to participate in the symphony for over 50 years. Upon her retirement from teaching, Dorothy remained just as busy with new hobbies. She became a pink lady at the hospital, took up golf, and was active in the Women's Golf Association. Terry would like to thank the private caregivers that took such wonderful care of her mom and the past and present staff of Orchard Park. She would also like to thank all the friends and neighbors who offered to care and support over the years. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be sent to Alzheimer's Foundation, Odessa Humane Society, or Westminster Presbyterian Church. A private graveside service will be held at Sunset Memorial Gardens on Thursday, July 22, 2021. A memorial service will be held at 12 p.m. at Westminster Presbyterian Church. Arrangements are under the direction of Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign her guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Death Notices. Lacey Nicole Nikki Dodson. Odessa. Lacey Nicole Nikki Dodson, 41, of Odessa, died Thursday, July 15, 2021, in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Thursday, July 22, 2021, at Sunset Memorial Gardens Cemetery. Visitation at Acres West 24-Hour Chapel is from 5 to 9 p.m. on Wednesday. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Abe Perilous Gonzalez, Odessa. Abe Perilous Gonzalez, 77, of Odessa, died Monday, July 12, 2021, in Odessa. Memorial service is scheduled for 2 p.m. July 24, 2021, at Deep Creek County Church in Snyder, Texas. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Carlos Santana Sarabia, Lubbock. Carlos Santana Sarabia, 41, of Odessa, died Sunday, July 18, 2021, in Lubbock. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. July 23, 2021, at Sunset Memorial.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, July 20th, 2021. Man, woman charged in sexual assault. OA News at OAOA.com. A 35-year-old man and his 31-year-old girlfriend were arrested after a 13-year-old girl told an Ector County Sheriff's Office investigator that she had been sexually assaulted. Casey Childress, 35, was charged with three counts of aggravated sexual assault of a child, family violence, a first-degree felony, injury to a disabled child, family violence, a third-degree felony, and failure to comply by sex offender, a third-degree felony, while Tiffany Martin was charged with aggravated sexual assault of a child, family violence, a first-degree felony, and endangering a child, family violence, a second-degree felony. On July 3rd, ECSO was dispatched to the 100 block of South Farm to Market Road, 1936, in reference to a possible sexual assault of a child. An ECSO affidavit stated. A complainant reportedly detailed that she had been getting text messages from her neighbor, identified as Martin, saying that Tiffany's 13-year-old daughter and boyfriend were possibly having sexual intercourse and acting inappropriately with each other. During the investigation, all children in the residence were identified as a 13-year-old girl, a 7-year-old girl, and a 3-year-old girl, the affidavit stated. The 3-year-old girl reportedly provided little information due to her age. However, when shown a photograph of a child and asked if anyone ever touched her inappropriately, the vagina of the drawing was touched. An attempt to interview the 7-year-old girl was done. However, due to her being disabled and having limited verbal skills, no information was gathered, the affidavit stated. Investigators reportedly spoke with the 13-year-old girl, where she stated that Childress forcefully had sex with her at least three times that she could remember. The 13-year-old girl detailed the final time she was sexually assaulted was in the 5700 block of Witcher Street. The 13-year-old girl stated Martin came into the room and caught Childress sexually assaulting her, the affidavit stated. The girl stated that Martin didn't say anything, turned around, and left. The girl stated that she and Childress both went outside. Then Childress told Martin they weren't going to be doing that anymore. The 13-year-old girl stated Childress reportedly continued staying at the residence, but never touched her again. Investigators spoke with Martin, and she stated she did walk in on Childress sexually assaulting the 13-year-old girl, the affidavit stated. Martin stated she knew they were having sex, but turned and walked out of the room to the front porch. Martin reportedly denied telling anyone about the incident, but stated Childress was still coming to the residence to visit their 1-year-old child. Same exams were performed on the 13-year-old girl and 3-year-old girl. The SANE exam provided evidence on both girls that were consistent and indicative of sexual assault. ECSO attempted to contact Childress, but he didn't answer the phone and no voicemail was set up, the affidavit stated. Childress has been a registered sex offender since January 31, 2005, and he must verify annually for the rest of his life. Childress was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on July 14th, jail records show. He has 5 bonds, totaling $495,000, and he was still in custody as of Monday afternoon. Martin has 2 bonds, totaling $150,000, and she was still in custody as of Monday afternoon. Midland teenager dies in 2-vehicle collision in Ector County. OA News at OAOA.com. A 19-year-old Midland man died while 4 others were hospitalized after a 2-vehicle collision in northwest Odessa. The reported fatal collision happened at 10 p.m. July 18th on State Highway 302, a Texas Department of Public Safety press release stated. Chance D. Eden, 24, of Midland, was reportedly driving a 2017 Dodge Charger with passengers Nicholas Terrazas, 19, of Midland, Kevin A. Martinez, 20, of Midland, and German Akira Jr., 19, of Midland. Cesar H. Muela Acosta, 42, of Odessa, was driving a 2005 Peterbilt truck tractor towing a semi-trailer, the press release stated. The truck tractor was traveling west on State Highway 302, while the Charger was also traveling west on State Highway 302, a short distance behind the truck tractor. The truck tractor reportedly slowed down to turn into a parking lot. The Charger failed to control its speed and struck the rear of the truck tractor. Terrazas was pronounced dead at the scene by Ector County Medical Examiner. Terrazas was reportedly the only person in both vehicles that wasn't wearing his seatbelt. School supplies giveaway slated for July 23rd, 24th by Federico Martinez, F-M-A-R-T-I-N-E-Z at OAOA.com. More than 600 free backpacks brimming with school supplies will be distributed during the City of Odessa Code Enforcement Department's annual back-to-school party, 9 a.m. to noon Saturday at McKinney Park. The backpack giveaway is part of a 2-day event that kicks off Friday from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. with music, dancing, free treats and t-shirts, an outdoor movie, door prizes, and plenty of games and activities, Code Enforcement Education Administrator Darlene Mays said. Both days will also feature free COVID-19 vaccinations for youths and adults, a car show, and various activities, including access to the park's spray ground area, Mays said. The whole reason for doing this is to bring joy to our children, Mays said. The season of COVID put a stop to it last year, but we're back this year. A lot of parents can't afford school supplies and clothing. This is our way of helping. The event is sponsored by Hannah Law Firm and Keep Odessa Beautiful. For more information about the event, or to inquire about making a donation to help provide more school supplies, contact the city's code enforcement office at 432-335-4820. Organizers are also seeking more volunteers to help distribute backpacks and help supervise various activities. Virtual public meeting focuses on Highway 18 in Ward, Pecos counties. TxDOT seeks public input on corridor needs regarding safety and mobility. OA News at oaoa.com. The Odessa District of Texas Department of Transportation has scheduled a virtual public meeting regarding proposed improvements to Highway 18 in Ward and Pecos counties, a press release detailed. The virtual public meeting is reportedly scheduled to begin at 5 p.m. July 28th. Following the virtual public meeting, the presentation will remain available for viewing through August 12th. The proposed project would go from Loop 464 south of Monahans in Ward County to Business Interstate 10 in Fort Stockton in Pecos County, the press release stated. The proposal consists of the following. Widen this portion of Highway 18 and make it a four-lane divided highway with two lanes in each direction as well as both inside and outside shoulders. Include a wide center median and or barrier and provide median openings as needed based on traffic data. The proposed project is reportedly 46 miles long. It has not been determined how much additional right-of-way may be required or whether the project will involve construction in wetlands or floodplains. To log into the virtual public meeting, go to www.txdot.gov and keyword search SH18 South Virtual Public Meeting. The online meeting room will open at 5 p.m. July 28th and be available through August 12th. The meeting will consist of a virtual room and will include both audio and visual components. The virtual public meeting webpage will feature maps and exhibits for the public to review and comment on. The public may submit comments using any of the following methods. Online comment form found at www.txdot.gov, keyword search, SH18 South Virtual Public Meeting. Email sh18south@projectinformation.com. Mail comment form to BGE Incorporated, attention SH18 South, 2595 Dallas Parkway, Suite 101, Frisco, Texas, 75034. Comments must be received or postmarked by July 23rd to be included in the official record of this virtual public meeting. Leadership University kicks off. OA News at oaoa.com. The main item that impacts student outcomes and school improvement is top campus leadership. Peter Gorman, President and Chief Executive Officer of Peter Gorman Leadership Associates, LLC, was Monday's keynote speaker for Ector County ISD's Leadership University. Ector County ISD Superintendent Scott Murray also rallied his team. The gathering is set to run through Wednesday and is being held at Crossroads Church. About 300 educators attended. Gorman has been recognized nationally as an education leader, and for developing outstanding leadership teams with more than 30 years of experience in education and business. He provides executive support and organizational development for superintendents, senior leadership teams, and school boards across America. He also assists philanthropic organizations and education companies, his company website said. Gorman said places that focus on assistant principals increase math and reading, but to take it another step forward, statistically significant academic growth in schools that were among the lowest performing districts have gotten new principals. It even happens in low-performing schools, so the pipeline matters for those challenged schools, too. It's a strategic approach, and what I love is all principals benefited, even if you're not part of the group that's being focused on for an instructional approach. You get better because there's an afterglow. Because what does it do? It changes the climate and culture, Gorman said. When others see good people doing things, they start doing good things as well, and the attitude changes, he said. Districts need to ensure that they have good professional learning communities, that they have the right discussions when they talk about the work, and make resource and personnel decisions for the right reasons and in the right way. Seems pretty simple, but it's hard, Gorman said. He added that it is transferable to other parts of the operation as well, because these are basic human needs. People need to know the direction we're going. They want to be cared for and put in positions where they can be successful, he added. Murray spoke to his team Monday morning as well to issue a challenge for leaders in the district to make sure they are serving the children. I use the analogy that ECISD is celebrating its 100th birthday. We're 100 years old on August 18th. On August 19th, we start a second century of learning, and the leaders that will begin that new century of learning are all right here. The principals, the directors, the assistant superintendents, etc. So the challenge was, what will we create for our students? Our students deserve to be successful. Part of our mission is to make sure that our kids are successful in an ever-changing society. And over the next century, society will certainly continue to change and evolve, and our kids have to be prepared for that environment, Murray said. So how will the leaders in our organization move into the second century of a school system and lead effectively? We also talked about the innovator's dilemma. One challenge that innovators face, whether it's in the business world or in education, is the challenge of the status quo. Many times your stakeholders don't want you to change or get better. They like things the way they are. And in public education, we have to continue to change and get better. So how does an innovative school district overcome that? We used two words. One is a clear vision. We talked about what that clear vision is for ECISD, Murray said. And the second thing is drive. You've got to have internal drive to drive that vision forward. We talked about overcoming the innovator's challenge, he added. What makes it more exciting, Murray said, is that they don't know what the future holds or what jobs will be out there, so students have to learn to adapt. The pandemic is a great example. Who would have ever thought that kids would have to go to school completely virtual? Well, if our kids weren't adaptable, they didn't do well. But many of our kids adapted to that change and became successful. As we move forward, we're not sure what changes the world has in store, but whatever may happen to our kids, we'll really have to... Our kids will really have to be equipped to be successful in that world of jobs. Another thing, we'll have kids in school today that will be working in jobs that have yet to be created. But we're educating them today, and so we've got to make sure that they have the skills necessary to be successful in that job that has yet to be created. Hard work, but it's fun work, Murray added. Executive Director of Leadership Robert Cedillo said the content was very insightful. There's always golden nuggets to pull out of each speaker. We all have different experiences, and so learning from each other is very, very valuable and also serves as a reminder of certain things that we tend to forget to help our schools, Cedillo added. Sessions like this also make him realize the importance of working together. With COVID, we had to work basically in our office in our own island, and so bringing everybody together and seeing everybody and being able to collaborate again is definitely something that is valued more than ever, Cedillo said. Travis Elementary School Principal Amy Russell noted that Gorman was a mentor to Murray, and he really just laid it out in black and white that principals are statistically the key person that impacts the instruction in the classroom. We've always heard that it's teachers, 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 and it is. And the only person that has a greater impact on the classroom is the instructional leader of the campus. So I feel rejuvenated. I feel pumped up. I feel enthusiastic about my role, ready to start the school year, Russell added. ECISD, www.ectorcountyisd.org. On the net, www.pgleadership.com.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Source of cracking sound in ear. Dear Dr. Roach, about 2 or 3 months ago, I got a cracking sound in my right ear, and it hurts off and on. This happens several times a day, both day and night. I saw my doctor, who said it was nothing. He told me to take Sudafed 2 times every 24 hours. It does let up when I take it. Can you help ease my mind? Answer. The two things that first come to my mind with a cracking noise is the ear with discomfort is something in the ear canal, such as dried wax or a problem with the eustachian tube. An exam should have shown wax in the ear, so I think the problem is the eustachian tube, which connects the middle ear with the back of the throat to maintain equal pressure. The equalization of pressure is sometimes accompanied by a popping sensation, often with a yawn or other wide opening of the mouth, followed by improved hearing. If the eustachian tube doesn't work right, the pressures don't equalize and there can be a pressure sensation in the ear that isn't relieved. The eustachian tube can be blocked by allergies or a cold, and the sodafurin or another decongestant is an effective treatment. Antihistamines can also be tried and might be especially useful in people with high blood pressure or those sensitive to decongestants. If symptoms are going away, you can be ease in your mind, but if not, it's worth another trip to your regular doctor or maybe an ear, nose, and throat specialist. There are other possible causes, such as TMJ disorders.
This is the Dear Abby column. Woman continues to hide ex's double life. Dear Abby, I broke up with my boyfriend a few months ago, but I'm still having a difficult time getting over him. I discovered he was responding to sexual messages from men and sending them pictures of himself, including his body parts. I feel this is the biggest betrayal any woman could experience, and keeping the truth from our mutual friends has been difficult. When people ask me what caused the breakup, I have to deny the truth and tell them we just grew apart. Now I wonder if he ever loved me, or was he just using me because I was the breadwinner while he stayed home? I keep wondering if all those times he claimed to be at the gym, was he really there? Please help me. Signed, Broken Dignity in California. Dear Broken, that your boyfriend wasn't honest about the fact that he was bisexual and unfaithful was indeed a betrayal. I also agree that all those times he claimed to be at the gym, he was likely with Jim. That you supported him financially while he involved himself with others, regardless of their gender, was another betrayal. You should be on your knees thanking your higher power you learned what was going on before you wasted more time or money on him. Quit covering for him by lying to your friends about what happened. You are not the first woman to fall for a cheater, and you won't be the last. P.S. If you haven't already contacted your doctor to be tested for STDs, the time is now. Dear Abby, a close friend of mine hadn't been feeling well. After seeing her doctor for a full day of tests, she met up with me, and I listened to her concerns. Before I could stop myself, I blurted out, "God, I hope you don't have cancer." She became very upset because of my comment and made me feel guilty for even mentioning it. While I meant my remark to be more caring than callous, it backfired. With cancer so prevalent in today's society, when is it okay to talk about it? Is it something we tiptoe around and discuss only after a full diagnosis? I regret my words and need to know how I can become more caring, supportive friend. Signed, Oops in Florida. Dear Oops, cancer, like other illnesses, can be fatal, should be discussed when and if the person has the diagnosis, reveals it, and feels the need to discuss it. Dear Abby, I have been married to a wonderful man for 46 years. The only disagreement we have had during all this time is my hairstyle. Growing up, I had curly, kinky hair, for which I was bullied and teased. I feel secure and safe when I straighten it. He loves it curly. I feel insecure and sad when I try to make him happy, because I feel so much better with straight hair. I don't think I can honor his wishes. To some people, this may seem trivial, but it's a major issue in our home. I would appreciate your advice. Hair Don't, Out West. Dare Hair Don't, my advice is to thine own self be true. If you feel depressed and insecure with curly hair, then you should not feel forced to wear it that way. It's your head and your feelings, and your husband will have to adjust and accept it. Dear Abby, you can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Horoscopes by astrologer Georgia Nichols. Happy birthday for Wednesday, July 21st, 2021. You are innovative, imaginative, and very perceptive. You are also friendly and charming, and you have strong ties to your family. This year, you will strive to establish your place in the world with reference to your family, your job, and your community. It's a social year, and you will relate to a wide variety of people. Aries is March 21st to April 19th is a positive day. This is a lovely day because the Moon, Venus, and Mars are all supportive to Aries. This means that whatever you attempt to do will probably succeed. It's a great day to schmooze and enjoy playful outings. Tonight, you are admired. Taurus, April 20th to May 20th is a positive day. You might be dealing with financial issues like loans, mortgages, debt, or shared property. especially with how they relate to your home or your family. If so, be aware of the brief moon alert. It's a lovely day to entertain. Tonight, explore travel plans. Gemini, May 21st to June 20th is a positive day. With the moon opposite your sign today, you have to go more than halfway when dealing with others. Nevertheless, this is a friendly day. Enjoy talking to everyone. Something will make you appreciate who and where you are. Tonight, expect a favor. Cancer, June 21st to June 22nd is a positive day. Although this is a friendly day for most, you will use this energy to get better organized and work smart at your job. You might want to do something that helps you get better organized with a pet. The good thing is you have the energy. Tonight, warm conversations. Leo, July 23rd to August 22nd is a positive day. Even though you are low-key, you can't resist invitations to party and socialize today. Enjoy social outings, playful activities with kids, sports events, and fun times. With both Mars and Venus in your sign, you'll make a memorable entrance. Tonight, health is favored. Virgo, August 23rd to September 22nd is a dynamic day. Family discussions, especially with females, will go well today because good feelings abound. Some of you might instead prefer to cocoon at home alone. If so, you will enjoy feeling pampered and private. Tonight, fun city. Libra, September 23rd to October 22nd is a positive day. This is an excellent day for those of you who write, teach, act, sell, or market for a living because your verbal skills are sharp. Not only that, you will be charming and friendly with everyone. Regardless of what you do for a living, this is an excellent day to communicate with someone. Tonight, relax at home. Scorpio, October 23rd to November 21st is a positive day. Business and commerce are favored today, with the exception of a one-hour interval. Check the moon alert. You might see ways to boost your income or to get a better paying job. Admittedly, many of you will see ways to spend your money on something beautiful. Tonight, you feel positive. Sagittarius, November 22nd to December 21st is a positive day. For most of the day, the moon is in your sign dancing with Venus and Mars, which makes you feel positive, energetic, and friendly to everyone, especially people who are different or from other culture. This is because you want to broaden your horizons and stretch a bit. Tonight, money looks good. Capricorn, December 22nd to January 19th is a positive day. This is the perfect day for a nap. It's also a good day to keep a low profile and watch the world go by. Nevertheless, financial discussions will go well. If you are negotiating a law or mortgage, be aware of the restrictions of the moon alert for only 1 hour. Tonight, you're happy. Aquarius, January 20th to February 18th, an average day. Your interaction with friends will be rewarding today. You also might just feel as happy interacting with clubs, groups, and associations because you're in the mood to socialize and share your ideas. You are also thinking ahead about the future. Tonight, enjoy solitude. Pisces, February 19th to March 20th is a positive day. People notice you today, which is a good thing because you look very good in their eyes. You look successful and charming, which is why someone might approach you to ask for advice or for your help in some way. Tonight, warm friendships.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.